Hello and welcome to another episode of Inside the Burrow, the FAU podcast for and by Owls fans, presented by FAUOwlsNest.com. You know what, guys? I woke up Sunday morning thinking that I might have just had a horrific nightmare, a night terror, that FAU had one of their most embarrassing games in program history and lost to Old Dominion. I went to go check my phone. You know, I wanted ESPN app, Google, the whole nine yards, and much to my dismay, ended up being a reality. What the hell happened? Oh my God. Kirk, welcome back. I'm not sure if you had that same feeling in the morning. I'm not sure if that kind of represents the general idea throughout Owl Nation, but I certainly was confused and hoped that 30-16 scoreline, getting beat in every single statistical category, was a nightmare. Am I alone in that assessment?
I mean, definitely a nightmare. I think a lot of the things we talked about and were concerned about after the Marshall game just got magnified from the Old Dominion game. I think we both thought, or at least maybe it was our FAU bias coming out, is like, we thought we were going to rebound, you know, if the team was going to rally, go beat a team they were better than, more talented than, and the complete opposite happened. Stuff we talked about, like, what does FAU do really do well? Not much. And it showed again, you know, against Old Dominion. The only thing we can ever lean on is maybe Johnny Ford breaking a couple tackles or getting out in the open field to hopefully bust open a screen pass or a run. You know, that's about all we can do. Nikosi struggled again. It seems like we haven't really seen a good game out of Nikosi, you know, other than the second half of the Charlotte game. And even still, that was a lot of run after the catch, not a lot of things. So, I mean, just very, 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 very frustrating.
Kirk, do you remember last week when we said, what is one thing we do well? Do you remember what we both said?
Punting.
There Matt you go. Hayball. So, yeah, Matty Hayball, everyone's favorite Australian. So, you know, I said we got beat in every single statistical category. There is one where we beat Old Dominion, and that is punts. The thing is, we only had 1/10 more of a yard punting than they did. We had four punts for 43.5 yards. They had four punts for 43.4 yards average. So just not a good day all the way around. And I think the biggest thing for me was, you know, we knew the offensive struggles. We knew about the offensive line. We knew about the defensive struggles, not being able to apply pressure. The biggest shock for me was seeing these DBs who are as athletic as get out. I mean, we're going to know that's the type of player that we're going to get when you have a program in South Florida get beat time and time and time and time and time again by receivers that normally shouldn't have any business going up against these DBs and being successful. That's A. And B, the penalties more than me. Those are the two things that really stuck out, because I feel like those are kind of self-inflicted wounds. The penalties, obviously. I mean, cheese and rice. I mean, the offsides, the false starts. You've got to be kidding me. How hard is it, especially if you're a receiver or tight end, how hard is it to look at the ball? That is basic football 101. That is something that when I played JV, me, the most unathletic person you could find, that's something that I didn't even mess up. You know what I mean? It's so frustrating because it shouldn't be that way. And you could hear Coach Taggart in the post-game presser Saturday night. I mean, you could hear the frustration. I mean, borderline anger in the voice, in his voice. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed, man, because that – I know I said that last week. No, you know what? Screw it. I am kind of mad because that show out sucked, and we should be better on that. I know that there's talk about whether – now, you know, does this team really have that much talent? I mean, come on. Nikosi Perry, yeah. Johnny Ford hit 100 yards again. This offensive line did not struggle this much last year, when last year was basically throwaway year. We were in, you know, we We're still second place in the East last year. Hello. Defense, we return everybody but one starter. Now, with Bryce out, Deshaun Moss out, yeah, we're a little bit depleted, but that's just two guys. You don't think everywhere else in the nation is down two, three, four guys, especially on the defensive side of the ball? Of course they are, but they want to make it work. So what's going on? We keep hearing Coach Taggart say that, there needs to be accountability. The players need to have accountability. Recently, he started saying that the coaches needed accountability. But how many times are we going to hear accountability until we actually start to see it? That being said, some news that did happen today, Monday, I should say, is that wide receiver, head coach, Coach Joey Thomas, he has been relieved of his duties at that position. And all-time NFL legend, Hines Ward, former Pittsburgh Steelers receiver, who's been an offensive analyst with the team this year. He's now took a step up and is wide receivers coach. Taggart said Monday morning that he already saw a response from the receivers. He might have let this slip, but he wouldn't say that even when receivers aren't in drills now, they're not chilling. They're being thrown balls and they're catching the ball, which made me think, when they're not in drills, when they're waiting for the player in front of them, are they just standing there beforehand? If so, well, no freaking wonder we had a game with double-digit drops. No wonder that's such a common issue, especially on the deep ball. So it is good to see that change in mindset, that mentality of I always got to be working, I always got to be honing my craft, making sure I watch the ball go in, and hopefully we can see some benefit in the long run. Even though, what's that benefit going to do? I mean, the race for the East, it's not mathematically eliminated, but I mean, we're going to have to beat Western Kentucky, which if we beat Old Dominion the way we expected, maybe, because they are so one-dimensional offensively. But I mean, the way how we saw our pass defense go last week, I don't see it happening, but I digress. So what is that benefit going to be for? A bowl game? That is, if we make it, we got to think about it, Kirk. You got to go to Bowling Green to play, I'd say probably the second best team in the conference right now, Western Kentucky, not high octane offense. And you got to play Middle Tennessee, who, like Marshall, we always tend to struggle with. And that game is going to be dead too. I mean, that's Thanksgiving weekend. I hate it when we host Thanksgiving weekend games because it kills attendance. So at least we don't have to go somewhere cold, which is nice. But I mean, thinking about all those things, thinking about, being accountable and the changes with receiver coach, Kirk, I want to kind of let you talk for a second because, I saw you tweet, I saw you post in the Owl's Nest. It seemed like you, I don't want to say fed up, I want to put words in your mouth, but you just were not a happy camper and you were trying to think, where does this begin and where does this end? So I want you to talk about that and then say, is struggling for a bowl game, is that where you expected this team to be at this point? Is that acceptable by this program standards anymore? Go ahead, take the mic.
I mean, kind of the most disappointing thing I tweeted out and put in the nest is there's two common themes of the past 2 years. And, last year, it's almost you kind of wanted to give a pass to a lot of things because, it was COVID year, a lot of unpredictability, player availability. Tough to develop players throughout the year because, maybe they were dealing with COVID or, not being able to practice. But this year, there's really no excuse. And you've seen two things happen the past 2 years is the team totally regress as the season went on, which, especially, maybe it's an unfair comparison, but going back to the Kiffin years, it's the complete opposite. You always saw that team ascend as the team, the one thing you could be critical of Kiffin on, and maybe it had to do a lot with the schedule, but even had a couple tough losses. The team always finished really well. They were always at the top of their game when it came to, to the bowl game and towards the end of the year. And it's just the complete opposite. It's like you've seen Nkosi seem to get worse. The offensive line has just stayed stagnantly average to below average,
I think if I may interrupt, I think average is being quite
probably generous. Yeah.
Generous. Yeah.
The wide receivers just stagnant and have probably gotten worse as the season has gone on. The defense, for the most, Old Dominion was a very disappointing game, but You know, the defense has stayed about the same, in my opinion. You know, there's a lot of talent there. You know, they've had some injuries. But just the lack of player development. And, yeah, we do have some holes that, you know, you could argue that, you know, Kiffin did leave on the roster. You know, you could point to the wide receiving core. You could, you know, probably, you know, point to our running backs have seemed to regress over the past couple of years. Because, I mean, go back 3 years ago, we were talking Malcolm Davidson as the next, you know, Motor Singletary, the next Kareth White, and his game's just fallen off. So just that's really been the most disappointing thing, is just the lack of development, the lack of kind of what we talked about already, is just we don't do anything well. There's nothing we can lean back on and hope that, you know it's going to work. So yeah, I mean, it's really all of that. And it to me, it, we're in a dangerous spot for Willie, because, you know, you have to see, do I think he'll end up getting fired? Probably not. I mean, I think he's going to see next year, unless, you know, maybe I think Western Kentucky comes out and wins 4 or 5 touchdowns, which honestly, at this point, I don't see it not being, I could see that being very possible. And if we lose the Middle Tennessee State, you know, who knows, maybe everything's on the table. But going back to what you said, no, this is not the expectation. I'm sure this isn't what President Kelly and, you know, Brian White envisioned with the money they put into the program, the money they put into the facility, the donations they received. Heading into the American, the last thing you want to see this program doing is descending and lowering the talent level going into the American. Yeah, the American's not going to be what it is today, but it's still going to be a very good conference. And the American is kind of counting on FAU filling the role of UCF to start elevating the conference. So the last thing you want to do is see us descending into the American and going in there and struggling. You know, could things be worse? You know, hearing that FIU uses 10-year-old shoulder pads and, you know, just their AD getting replaced. So could be worse, but it's not where you want to see this program going right now.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. We kind of, you know, have to be thankful for our leadership and the development we've had in the last few years. And to be fair, Willie Taggart will be one of the first people to say that. We're the first people to say that there is a vision up top. And it was made possible by Lane Kiffin as well. He's talked about that a plethora of times. So I'm going to be fair on that. But it is, we don't know exactly when we'll be going to the American. It doesn't look like it's going to be next year. Could be the summer of 2020. I even heard 2023. I mean, that's all up to the SEC, and that's then up to the three schools in the American that are leaving to join the Big 12. If they want to do some sort of expedited payout, you guys know we've talked about that already. But it is going to be a time where we're going to have to be on top of our game as a whole program. And you kind of see that already throughout athletics. I mean, Kirk, you and I, you know, we're both big soccer guys. Seeing what the run that the FAU men's soccer team has done was absolutely insane. For those of you fans that don't know, they went all the way to the Conference USA Championship game, played number 14th ranked nationally, Kentucky, lost them in overtime, absolute heartbreaker. That's a program that hasn't won a conference tournament game since 2007. I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about how difficult of a soccer conference USA is. FAU beat Marshall, the defending national champions. They were ranked 4th at the time. They beat them in the semifinals 3-1. They beat Charlotte in the first round. Charlotte just made the tournament. They got an at-large bid. So what I'm trying to say is you kind of do see this progress. Men's basketball as well. They're about to host Miami at the most magnificent arena in the world, the FAU Borough. Who would have thought that would happen? Miami isn't too far away from some really good teams making the NCAA tournament a couple times. So you see kind of everyone climbing. And then, like you said, you kind of just see the FAU football team just, I don't want to say bottoming out. I mean, hopefully this is the bottom for us. But I mean, it's not going in the right direction. And I don't know if that's whether or not that's a Taggart thing, because like you said, last year, the team started to go down. In the Kiffin years, the teams would improve throughout the calendar year. But if there is a time for this program to be rolling on all cylinders, it's now. You have the Schmidt Center. You have the financial backing. People can say they want about attendance and fan support. Frankly, it's better than it's been in the last decade. That's just straight up. And that includes the students. That includes the alumni side. I've been very critical of the alumni side of things, but that's been doing well. And also, it's been great for the Fairweather fans, people that normally sit on the end zones as well. We've had a couple good games with those fans. But yet again, every single time those people come in, there's a dud. There's always something that's going on. FIU seems to be the only positive there this year. And I mean, like you said, that program's a dumpster fire. So I don't know what it's going to take. I still want to give Taggart some time. I'm happy that he's being aggressive when it comes to the coaching staff, that we're seeing accountability. That's kind of been his word for the last month. Accountability when it comes to how he handles things. But it's getting to the point where I'm getting kind of tired of it. I want to see improvement. It's frankly embarrassing that we go from a CUSA title race to getting blown out by Old Dominion, giving up all those safeties, making national headlines because of that, and now fighting tooth and nail for a bowl game. For a bowl game. I don't want to go to, dude, I don't know, Bahamas to play Ball State. I mean, Bahamas sound kind of nice, but I mean, like, you know, but it's like for a bowl game, that's not it. So I don't know. If you think, Kirk, I want to pose this question to you before we move on to Western. We get blown out by WKU, and then we lose to Middle Tennessee by, say, two possessions. What's next? What happens? I mean, I think that Taggart will get another year, but I think there's going to have to be wholesale changes throughout the coaching staff, again, for a program that's seen that every year for the last 5 or 6 years. What about you?
My gut says he probably gets another year. Me personally, I would, if Western Kentucky blows us out of the stadium, like we get flat out embarrassed and then we lay another dud at home, I really think you'd have to consider moving on. Because the way I would look at it is, let's just hypothetically say it's looking like we'd probably join the American in 2023. You basically let a year, you bring in a new coach, you basically give him the last year of Conference USA to get his ducks in a line. So hopefully, you know, you're ready to join the American with a guy in a second year. Whereas, you know, you then you have Willie, we have another rough year. Then you let someone go, and then the first year into the American, you're kind of trying to figure things out. Could be a first, you know, could be a rough first year as a coach. I know going back to, like, you know, going back to Willie's USF days, he was like a week or two away from getting fired at USF, and then this guy came around, Quinn Flowers, and he turned around everyone's fortune there.
That is something that I feel like we kind of forget when we talk about, you know, Willie at USF and how great he did. He was literally one game away. That Syracuse game where they blew Syracuse out, that was his last chance, and it worked out. And since that game, they went on an absolute tear with Quinton Flowers at quarterback. And a couple years later, I mean, they're back in the top 25 and the whole shebang. He literally was one game away, and that's confirmed, basically, from people that are on the USF beat and from USF fans. So. I hate to interrupt. I just wanted to go ahead and say that.
So, I mean, I feel like could we be looking at a very similar situation here? Is, you know, can Willie get it right? If he comes back for year three, let's say, you know, we go 0-2 or go 1-1, let's say Western Kentucky blows us out and we, you know, we squeak by MTSU. He gets a third. I think you hit the nail on the head. Wholesale changes have to be made, but, you know, what are those changes? Is he really going to change his OC after 1 year? You know, especially with Michael Johnson's son here. You know, he already obviously made the switch that he brought up a wide receiver. You know, he brought in the O-line coach from this past year, which you thought, like, it seemed like a good hire originally, but doesn't seem that way right now because the offensive line, like, hasn't gotten better throughout the year. The defense, I don't know if changes really need to be made because it hasn't been the defense's fault this year. I mean, you just go up and down the line. What are our scores the past 4 or 5 weeks? We barely break 20 points nowadays, which is just
embarrassing.
You know, we embarrassing in today's college football, especially in like G5 football. Like, we're not throwing for yards. Like, we're not breaking 200 yards in passing, which is unheard of today. And it's not like we're running for 300-400 yards a game. It's not like when Jason Driscoll was throwing off, you know, in 2017 when he had some of those game lines of 7 for 15 for 85 yards, but, you know, Singletary, Buddy Howell, and Kareth White combined for 450 yards rushing. It didn't really matter. You know, we're barely running the ball, and Nikosi's dropping back, and we're like, perfect example game by 12-21, 187 yards. Like, that's been the norm the past 5-6 weeks. It's not an aberration at this point. It's who we are.
But who's to say that, you know, you're talking about Stoops, wholesale changes, he could stay on because defense has been well. Who's to say that he wouldn't want to leave at that point? Who's going to say that there's not going to be a big program that comes in and says, wow, we see that you did pretty well with what's become a dumpster fire at FAU. We're going to go ahead and pick you. And if you're Stoops, you're trying to get back to the big time. Why would you not take that? Why would you not?
It doesn't need to be a big program. Look at Jim Lovett. I mean, Jim Lovett went from to the American, just to, you know, to SMU. So it's not even like it would even probably take a big program. It'd probably just take, here's $100,000 extra a year and, you know, come coach here. And he probably would jump at that.
Yeah, I could see if Tulsa does it, you know, he gets to go back to Oklahoma. If they say, hey, come be our defense coach. I don't know the inner workings of his mindset, of his decision-making, but if I'm him and things continue to tailspin, why would you not at that point? Get out, get back home, go somewhere else. It's fine. Especially when it doesn't seem to be a lot of direction right now. Holy crap, that was depressing. All right. You know, we told ourselves we're not going to be all doom and gloom, because it's not all doom and gloom. There's still things to play for. There's a senior class that's been here since 2017 that deserves to go out with a bowl game, and that's definitely still possible. FAU can become bowl eligible. God, I'm just so mad we're talking about bowl eligibility. FAU can become bowl eligible and go to, I don't know, the Carolina Beach Bowl and – isn't that a thing? Isn't that something? Myrtle Beach, right? That's his thing, isn't
it? Yeah, the Myrtle Beach Bowl. I think, isn't it at Coastal Stadium? I'm pretty sure it's a Coastal Carolina Stadium.
Well, whatever.
Teal turf.
Yeah, we'll get to play Miami of Ohio. instead of get it. Hey, by the way, real quick, both of us being Bucks fans, if you told us last Thursday morning that the Dolphins would be the one bright spot in South Florida football over the weekend, I would laugh directly in your face. There'd be no shot. But here we are. Goes to show how crazy things have been. FAU can become bowl eligible. It's not over yet. We're just going to be talking about bowl eligibility because I do believe winning the division. I need to stop thinking about that. Possible, but Western Kentucky is a tough beat. We've all heard about Bailey Zappe at this point. I know it's something that you've talked about. Shane's talked about. We've all been talking about him. A lot of us didn't really believe the hype about Western this year. And a couple times, Kirk, you might remember we've said, well, you know, hey, we might be eating our own words because they're looking pretty good. Yeah, we're eating our own words. We're eating crow. We're eating doo-doo and everything else, man, because they, I think, might be the only team that can beat UTSA. If they're able to get their defense worked out, they can definitely do it. I'm talking about beating the Roadrunners in San Antonio for us.
And they almost did already. I mean, they gave them everything already once this year.
Yeah, so. In Bowling Green, that was a great game, absolutely. But nonetheless, I feel like their defense doesn't really need to improve much because our offense hasn't really shown much of anything. Remember how we said that? Last week, just how disappointed we are and how we, you know, students were able to get over the hump, we'll be okay, but we haven't been able to get over that hump. We only did it once, and it was at Charlotte, and we haven't shown any consistent back-to-back games or two games period where we've been able to outshine someone. So what's your early thoughts going into at the face of the Hilltoppers?
I mean, at this, I would hate to continue the doom and gloom, but I don't have much hope going into this game, just mainly because we haven't seen anything from our offense. And we're not going to be able to waste possession against Western. You know, we might get two or three stops on them, and that would probably be doing pretty well. And I would also consider a stop if you hold them to a field goal. You know, maybe our only hope going into this game is, you know, Bowling, you know, us going to Bowling Green seems to be their house of horrors. You know, it's the one away stadium we seem to have always played well in, you know, dating back to when even Taggart was the coach of Western Kentucky. We've always played well there. So, you know, that would maybe be my only hope. I mean, they're off, you know, the defense isn't great. So maybe them not being great could get our offense back on track. But like, it's probably an overused term in general, but like Bailey Zappe is putting up video game numbers. Like they're truly video game numbers, and our DBs just haven't been making plays the past few weeks. I mean, you know, what gives us hope that we can make, I would say if we hold them to 35, we maybe have a shot, but I don't see how that's possible at this point. And would say we score 30 points at this point.
No, that requires scoring 36. And I'll always try to be fair in these situations. Taggart said, you know, we can't even score 30 points against Old Dominion. You know, we can't even score 20 points against Old Dominion. Western Kentucky's passing attack is no joke. Reminds me a lot of the Brandon Dowdy days or the Mike White days. Jareth Stearns is absolutely nuts. He has 1,300 yards already this year. Mitchell Tinsley, 800 yards. I mean, Daywood Davis, they can go all over the field. And these are playmakers. These are athletes that I know that we kind of have and that we should be showcasing, but for some reason, we can't. I don't know. Western Kentucky made a deal with the devil. They always get these sneaky good quarterbacks. Once every 5 years, it feels like, right? So, I mean, if we hold Western Kentucky 35 points, which is possible because our defense has been been solid. I mean, again, passing defense has been bad, but we know that's all they're going to do. We know they're going to have an air raid. We know that our rush defense is solid enough. But just how depleted we are at DB, I just don't see it. Especially, I know we said it earlier, but especially with how they played against Old Dominion, like Jesus, Old Dominion had no business winning all those one-on-ones they did over 20 yards. And we knew it was coming. Coach Taggart said that's their offense. We knew that they're going to be doing these go routes. So we knew it was coming, and we're still getting burned left and right. If that's happening against Old Dominion, against Western Kentucky, I mean, dude, forget it. Absolutely forget it, man.
I mean, yeah, if anything last week, you know, if the same thing happens last week, if we're giving the same type of coverage, yeah, I mean, I think we're looking at a game where we give up 56-ish points. You know, I think
they've done that already too.
And the other thing that scares me, a thing we didn't really talk about earlier is we have not gotten consistent QB pressure really in any game this year. So, you know, that also, I mean, if we were pressuring the quarterback week after week, you know, maybe that would give me some hope. But, you know, we're probably going to drop back. Billy Zappi's going to have all the time in the world to throw and, you know, make throws without having guys up the middle. You know, maybe Evan Anderson could cause some pressure up the middle. But, like, we don't have that guy who – we don't have the Leighton McCarthy. We obviously don't have a Trey Hendrickson. We don't have, you know, we're missing that edge rusher we've had, you know. You know, it seems like we've always had a good edge rusher. This year, it's just not there. You know, it's another component of this roster.
So why not just rush three guys? Have a couple linebackers there just to spy, just, you know, make sure that no runs go into the secondary, and just send everyone else back. Everybody. I mean, don't send blitzes with corners. Don't send blitzes with safeties. Multiple linebackers. Maybe send one if you're feeling frisky, Coach Stoops. But like, what's the point if we know that's their bread and butter? Why not? We do everything to try and stop it. Like, you know, playing Air Force. Okay, let's put 10 guys in the box and do the best we can. Why don't we put, I don't know, 9 guys outside of the box? Yeah, I'm just thinking of like NCAA, like 14. How would that work? But it's just, I don't know. It's because we know we're not going to get pressure on the quarterback already. So why put more bodies to do something that's not going to happen? Why risk more one-on-one opportunities for Western Kentucky when, like we saw last week, we could just get burned? I don't see the point of it. So I don't know. If the defense holds them to 35, man, great. But again, that requires the offense scoring 36. And sadly, we're not playing FIU. So that's all there is to it. You want to make a prediction, or is it going to be more doom and gloom?
I mean, I can. If we're throwing out an early prediction, I thought the spread was being very, very nice. When I first initially saw 10, I think it's in a 10.5 right now, 10, I almost fell out of my chair. I almost wanted to just put everything I had on West Kentucky right then and there. I was thinking more of like 16.5. What we were going to look at, 16.5, 17.
That's exactly what I thought. Yeah.
So it came in a touchdown under them, what I thought. I'm going to say Western 42-20. You know, 20 points has been about what we've been scoring recently. So let's see, maybe we hit double digits because, you know, we'll have enough possessions to maybe score 20.
Maybe. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know, man. I really want to say 35-38 area, but I mean, if the DBs, I hate counting on them because you know how much I love athletic defensive backs that talk their talk. You know what I mean? That's just perfect for a South Florida program. So I have a lot of confidence, and that fits right into the Hilltopper strength. So honestly, I was going to say 48 or 49. I'm going to draw that back. I'm going to draw it back. 38-17. That's two touchdowns. Or two safeties and a field goal. Another field goal. And some more safeties.
Four safeties.
That's not gonna happen. Yeah.
I think our score predictions, I think the saddest part is just the lack of confidence we have in our offense. It's not even, you know, obviously we don't have confidence in being able to keep them within reach, but like, you know, we slowed down the Mason Fines North Texas teams in the past. Like, we, you know, we've been able to do that, but like, we just have zero confidence to even score that could even give us a chance, which just is sad. Because you saw the offensive potential earlier in the year against Georgia Southern, against FIU.
And that potential is still there. I want that.
Yeah.
I want that on the record. That potential is still there. The defensive backs can still ball. The whole defense can still ball. We know this. We just haven't seen it on a consistent basis. I'm sorry to interrupt you again, brother, but it's just so like, I hate being doom and gloom, and I know you do too, because we don't want to act like we're attacking the program, but we just know the talent is there, and it's not being displayed on the gridiron. So that goes right into the lack of confidence, dude. It's just until we see that talent perform the way we know that it can on a consistent basis, then we'll be confident again, just like we were after the Charlotte game. After the Charlotte game, we're thinking we're going to win Conference USA again. Now we're begging to go to the Montgomery Bowl. You know, it's laughable.
Amazing how quickly things can change.
Yep. 2 weeks ago, Conference USA title chase. Today, begging for Brett McMurphy to put us in a bowl prediction. So, but hey, you know what? FAU is a soccer school. That's A-okay by me. It's A-okay with you. I know that much.
Owls, and then we got a big game in the borough, right?
Big game Tuesday night. That's right. Tuesday night against Miami, 6:00. Make sure to wear red, please, guys. Should be a good one. And the Owls played a New Mexico Lobos team in Albuquerque last week. A sneaky good team. They're traditionally a power in the Mountain West. They seem to be a bit down because they lost some production, but so far they're looking pretty good right now in Albuquerque. So that was a good game. The Owls did get their first win under the belt against Division II team, granted, on Saturday. So I guess Saturday wasn't all bad, right? Hopefully it's a good borough, good crowd at the borough. I mean, you might remember when you and I were were in school, the borough was popping, man. And it was a fun place to be. Greg Gant, Ray Taylor, the names go on and on, Brett Royster. So it's a good time. Hopefully everyone that is there in South Florida can make it. It should be a good one. Wear red. Any predictions for that one, my man? I know that's a curveball just threw your way.
I mean, the program seems to be doing better. I mean, I love what Dustin May's done the past couple of years. So, I mean, they lost a tough one against New Mexico. I don't think they're going to win, but I have a feeling they get a good game. I would say it's a game, and you know, late to the second half. Maybe it's we're trying to foul to chasing points towards the end. You know, maybe Miami wins like 75-68, 68, yeah, something like that.
And I feel like for FAU basketball for the last decade, since you know the Mike Jarvis era started to go downhill, we've always knew that the level of expectations between FAU and football and FAU basketball, they're different. And it's kind of been proven since the Lane Kiffin era. No matter what, I just want us to play an entertaining style of basketball at this point. For football, I want to win games. I want to win games any way we can because I know that we can compete at a high level. For basketball, hey, if we lose, let's at least have a good time. Let's do it entertainingly. Let's get some more fans back in the borough. Because you don't need that many fans to make it a tough place to play, which is something that a lot of people don't really talk about. So, but that all being said, Coach May does have the program going in the right direction. There's new money going into the facilities. They have a brand new locker room, which is absolutely gorgeous. The borough is about to have a major renovation. So, program's going in the right direction. We talked about it full circle. Look at this, man. We talked about it earlier in the pod, how the direction of FAU athletics is going up. So, and May we trust. Hopefully he can keep that trend going, him and the boys. It'll be a good one. So, closing out, every single time we said, oh, hopefully we come back with a win. And I'm not going to say it this time, but watch, this would be the one time I say that we actually win. So, who knows? Hopefully we come back full eligible. I just jinxed it. Knock on wood. Thanks so much for listening, guys. You all already know the deal. Tuesday, this goes up on FUIsNest.com and YouTube. Feel free to listen to the game on the way to the borough Tuesday night, or listen to the podcast, sorry, on the way to the borough Tuesday night. Grab a few brews in the parking lot and have a hot dog. If not that, then you guys already know Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wednesday morning. So thanks again for all your support, everyone. We really appreciate you all. You're the reason why we do this. We are so thankful for you guys. So even in gloomy days like this, we're thankful. So I don't want to shy away from that. So guys, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. We'll talk to y'all next week, and go Owls.